This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have a couple of extractions to start with here on this week's episode of the Paracast. Specifically, every time I hear a story about this, I wonder why ET doesn't help us solve the problem of using such ancient, draconian, primitive methods at dental care. So we have J. Randall Murphy here, but his mouth is only partly here. What happened to you?
I can't go into much detail here, but you're absolutely right. Let's just say, yeah, it's true. They still use some kind of pair of pliers and when they're doing an extraction to yank things out. So, yeah, I had a wisdom tooth removed.
Well, I hope it hasn't lowered your IQ much.
No, I'm glad I finally got it done and this COVID-19 thing let up enough to let my dentist back to work.
So what did you do? He had a 6-foot-long plier?
Let's just not go into too much detail on that. We've got more important things to do here, I think.
Last week we had Kevin D. Randall, but he wasn't just on for the regular show. He was on for After the Paracast, which is a part, of course, of our Paracast Plus service. And there you and Kevin got into a bit of a debate going on. Not quite the legendary debate we had some months back with Tim Beckley and Don Eckert, where the words that flowed from their mouths would never make it on commercial radio. But it was nice to have a friendly back and forth. We always glad to do that.
Sure. That was really great with Kevin, but he's also the kind of guy that isn't going to respect you unless you do challenge him a little bit, because he's got a military background and he knows what he's talking about. And we got along really well, you know, with that point counterpoint anyhow, I thought. And after the end of the show, you know, we were able to confirm that. Yeah, really good show with Kevin Randall.
And Kevin puts up with me because we've known each other for 30 years or something. But we've got some youngins here. They look a lot younger than the guests we had on last week, and that is Chad Lewis and Kevin Lee Nelson, and they're the creators of Backroads Lore. So we're going to go into the highways and byways of the U.S., I guess, mostly, guys, to see what weird stuff's going on. Chad, welcome to the Paracast. Tell us what this is all about.
Yeah, we put together Backroads Lore because Kevin and I have the same approach to research of the strange, bizarre, and the unusual, of taking the back roads, hitting the mom-and-pop motels, digging up information that's maybe on the darker, more sinister side of folklore, legends, and superstitions.
Can you even find mom-and-pop hotels much anymore? That has to be really an endangered species, right?
Well, not only is it an endangered species, but you're taking your chances at a lot of them. Many of them are well kept, they're well maintained, they're great, but others have seen brighter days decades ago. And there have been a couple in our 20 years of traveling the back roads where it's been a little too much for us to stay there, but usually we can put up with quite a bit. But one of the things that got us out of one of our rooms was blood on the wall when we went into the bathroom area. There was blood on the wall. We checked out of that one pretty quickly, but usually we can put up with a lot.
Yeah, well, thank goodness it wasn't little tiny things crawling.
Yes, or our blood for that matter.
It's not a good sign. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I can see that.
Kevin Nelson, how did you and Chad hook up for this quest?
That's a great question. You know, I second guess if that was a wise choice all the time, but here we are 20 some years later. I think when I first met Chad, it was at a ghost conference up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Chad was presenting, And after his presentation, we kind of hung out and just kind of hit it off really well. Like Chad alluded to earlier, our philosophy was fairly aligned together. We kind of had the same ideas, same outlook, not identical, I would say, but over the years, we've both grown quite a bit as far as the experiences that we've had and just our general outlook on what exactly the paranormal is or isn't, and how that aligns to things like folklore and all that. And so for the last 20 years, we've just been kind of hitting the roads, like Chad said, and exploring different legends and trying to record a lot of these things before they're gone. You know, because a lot of these legends and folklore, sometimes, you know, within a generation, if they're not told or written down or somehow recorded, you know, they just vanish.
Do you guys have regular day jobs, or is this it? This is what you do full time?
Speaking for me, it's my second job. I do work for a technology management software company, which is perfect because I do a lot of travel for that. And when I travel, I'm able to look at different legends all around the country. And I'm on the road about 75-80% of the time, I would say. I mean, certainly not during our current pandemic, but in normal times, I would typically be on the road. So usually when I know that I'm going to be somewhere, I research urban legends in that area that I'm going to be, and I'll line up interviews if I need to, and kind of get a game plan so that when I've actually finished my job for the day, I've got some time to go check out some legends and do some research on the side.
I've spent the last 20 years traveling the road. Normally, I do about 200 lectures a year on the supernatural and superstitions, folklore, and the like. But now that things are so weird, it's been a nice little break to finally give that gas pedal a break and get in off the dusty back roads and actually get some research going and some writing that is a little bit more difficult when you're hopping from place to place on the road.
What got you guys interested? You can have a combined answer or separate ones. What got both you guys interested in chasing after monsters and ghosts and other stuff?
Well,
go ahead, Kevin.
In my case, you know, it's always one of those things that's always been there since childhood. You know, I've always had a fascination with mysteries, with, you know, monsters and ghosts and haunted locations, things like that, you know. And, you know, I can't really point to a certain time where it began. I know that there's some researchers, you know, that had this sort of almost traumatic moment in their life, you know, where things kind of changed for them and then it became an obsession. But in my case, it's just kind of always been there. One example is in fourth grade, we had to do a talk in front of the class. You know, it's one of those early presentation type things that you do in elementary school. You know, and whereas most kids were doing a demonstration on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, the topic that I chose was how to do a seance.
It kind of sounds like maybe we'll give the ghosts and monsters a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly.
I know that didn't sound very good, but now the thing about all this folklore and stuff, and I'll ask both of you to give answers as we kind of explore some of the unusual events. Do we find it all that sometimes it's just the locality trying to bring in some tourist traffic, so they put together some stories about ghosts or some kind of monster so that people come out and they go to the Mon Pa Hotel or whatever it is, or to the Holiday Inn if there's no Mon Pa Hotel left, and they go try to figure out what's going on. This way it brings in the traffic. I kind of sort of think, and we can debate that a lot of what's left with Roswell, New Mexico, is tourism, because it's at a point here where we're probably never going to find out what really happened there unless there's some secret information that comes to pass. And no, folks, this is not going to be another Roswell discussion. We had that last week with Kevin Randall, and it's an area that I do not wish to visit this week, and I'm sure most of you will agree. We have Chad Lewis and Kevin Lee Nelson. They're creators of Backroads Lore. And my question was basically, do we find any of this done by the localities? strictly to bring in some tourist traffic. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So, you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Randall's mouth works despite the efforts, the best efforts by his dentist with a 6-foot-long set of pliers to accomplish his feat of legerdemain. Anyway, guys, glad to have you on the show this week and happy to mostly get away from UFOs for a while. And so in your various back roads explorations, either one of you can chime in. Do you see situations here where maybe a locality really just wants to goose the tourist traffic rather than deal with something that's weird?
Yeah, I think a lot of communities, whether or not they believe in their legend, they're really coming around to the fact of promoting their town history because it's something unique. In an age when we can go to any city and see the same businesses, the same hotels, the same restaurants, everything seems the same, I think more and more communities are starting to promote their uniqueness, even if that is a legend of a monster, a sea serpent, a UFO sighting, or what be it. I think years ago, places were more hesitant to get into that because they didn't want to be seen as believers. There's a lot of places like in Van Meter, Iowa, they have a visitor festival celebrating a giant 9-foot bat-like creature that was spotted in 1903, and a lot of the people on the committee are skeptics. They don't believe it ever happened, but they're interested in the legend, the belief of it, the folklore of it, and playing that up. And of course, you know, tourist dollars never hurt in this day and age.
So when you do this traveling around the highways and byways of the country, and I assume a major focus on the Midwest here, do you have equipment set up, or do you just use a RV or what?
This is Kevin. Typically, we do it either together or also independently as well. Most of the time, I just do it from my car. I just, you know, drive around and hit some of these locations. We do a lot of camping on the side, too. Some of the locations that we go to can get fairly remote. You know, we don't let that get in our way. Like Chad said, a lot of these locations are starting to warm up to the idea of celebrating their local legends and folklore, whereas in the past, you know, they might have wanted to brush it under the carpet, you know, being afraid of looked at as backwards or something. But now it's one of those things that really differentiates them from the rest of the country.
And Kevin, I want to ask you about this, and that is werewolves. We all love werewolves. Okay, now I'm old enough, I wasn't around when these films came out, to have remembered The Werewolf of London, not a song, but the original movie from the 30s, I wasn't born then, and The Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr. We love werewolves, and of course we've explored this in the past. Is there such a thing as a werewolf? Or if there's anything like that, it's just somebody who's got some kind of emotional problem with two personalities or more. You want to hit this one, Kevin?
Oh, sure. So, yeah, we've looked into quite a bit of werewolf lore. Chad and I are both from Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is generally seen as one of the werewolf hotspots of the nation. Just down the road from where we live is a place called Bray Road. It's about a 45-minute drive from where Chad and I are. And, of course, that's somewhat infamous as the location or the habitat of the Beast of Bray Road, which some people describe as a werewolf or a dogman-like creature. And the sightings go back all the way to the 20s and perhaps even beyond if you include Native American lore. So, now, what exactly are people seeing? You know, it could be a number of things. Some of them could be misidentification of normal animals. People have speculated that some of these things that they're seeing are spiritual protectors of native burial grounds. So it's, I think a lot of it really comes down to the personal background and philosophy of the witness. You know, skeptics are going to be, of course, more inclined to believe that it's, you know, it's a large dog or it's a bear or something like that. Whereas someone who's a bit more metaphysically inclined might think it's something else.
Are you dealing with something here that people are actually seeing now?
Certainly. A lot of witnesses who contact me claim that they've seen something usually on the side of the road when they're driving, sometimes at night, but not always. And at first glance, they slow down thinking it might be a known animal in the area. They don't want to hit it, damage their vehicle, or roadkill. But then they start reporting that it seems to be the size of a big bear, but it's shaped more like a wolf. It has that long snout and the muzzle and this deep, dark, matted down fur. But a lot of witnesses were more afraid by the fact that they claimed it was a biped, either running or walking up on its hind legs like you and I do. And the most fascinating part for me talking and interviewing with these witnesses is the fact that many of them, even though they're in the safety of their vehicle, sometimes in a very large SUV, many of them have the feeling that if they don't get out of the area right away, this thing is going to harm or kill them. And usually when they speed home and they get home and they calm down, they're a little shy and embarrassed about how frightened they had become. But it really was a moment of terror while they were there, as though these things, whether it's reports of werewolves or hellhounds or other mysterious cryptids, almost project this fear about them. And it's an irrational fear. Obviously, you could just drive away and be fine. But yet these people feel that their life is in danger.
In a kind of a premonitory sense, almost. I've felt that out in the forest and in driving some. And I grew up out in BC, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a really weird feeling. And now we're getting right into your book here, right? When you're talking about this book, Wendigo Lore, Monsters, Myths, and Madness. And so maybe what we ought to do is get right into what we're talking about here with Wendigo, a mythological creature, evil spirit from the folklore of the First Nations, Algonquin tribes based in the northern forests of Nova Scotia, the east coast of Canada, Great Lakes region of Canada, and in the United States. This is what that's your basic thing. So my first question is then, like, which one is it? Is it a mythological creature, or is it an evil spirit? Or can it be either or both at the same time?
That's a great question, and that's the first question that we ran into, or I guess problem that we ran into when we wrote the book. When we started looking into the legend of the Wendigo, we found that it wasn't just one thing. You know, it wasn't just something as simple as like a vampire or something as simple as Bigfoot, because the different stories had so much variation in them. Sometimes it was more like a spirit. Sometimes it was a definite human that had gone kind of mad and turned cannibal. And then in other cases, it was this sort of giant creature, almost like a Northwoods ogre of sorts, that would hunt people down and destroy entire villages.
We're going to talk about the Wendigo lore and more. Chad and Kevin and Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
2-1-0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed. Bottom dog.
NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley have made it safely into orbit in the Crew Dragon. SpaceX is now the first privately owned company to fly humans to the International Space Station.
On behalf of the entire launch team, thanks for flying the Falcon 9 today. We hope you enjoyed the ride and wish you a great mission.
Thanks, Bala. Congratulations to you and the F9 team for the first human ride for Falcon 9.
In Minneapolis, protests continue over the killing of George Floyd while in police custody. In Oakland, California, a federal security officer was killed during a demonstration. A second officer was also injured in a shooting outside the federal courthouse. This is USA Radio News. The Minnesota National Guard is being mobilized after another night of chaos and violence. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says innocent people as well as many businesses are being harmed.
Our Minneapolis residents are scared and rightfully so. We've seen long-term institutional businesses overridden. We've seen community institutions set on fire. And I want to be very, very clear. The people that are doing this are not Minneapolis residents.
Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King is fighting for his political life in next Tuesday's primary. King was rebuked by the House Republican leadership and stripped of his committee assignments in January of last year after remarks he made that were deemed racist. King, who has served 8 terms in Congress, earlier said he would get back his committee posts if reelected. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says he never made those assurances. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Bing the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So we're talking here about the legend of the Wendigo. I'm looking at the picture in the book here. Wendigo lore, monsters, myths, and madness. And this is the kind of monster you see in movies sometimes where somebody suddenly changes, or you see them in a mirror and they've become this horrible monster. But tell us more about the legend or the reality, guys.
So when we were doing the research for this book, part of the difficult part of it was just determining what exactly a Wendigo is. And this book ended up being a research project that spanned well over a decade because it's just such a complex issue. The more that we researched it, we started to realize that what a Wendigo is, it's not any one of these three things. It's not just a spirit. It's not just a person that's gone cannibal and lost their mind. And it's not just this sort of Northwoods monster that lurks up in the pines. Instead, it's kind of all three. And so we started to look at it as more of a process than a static phenomena. So one of the analogies that I give in the book is, you know, a caterpillar and a butterfly are two very distinct things, but they're still essentially the same organism in different stages of its life cycle. As we were doing research on this, we found that there was sort of like a progression of how this thing works. And so according to Native belief, the Wendigo spirit, it's one of the original spirits in Cree and Ojibwe lore. They believe that this spirit can inhabit someone, sort of like possession, and it does it when you've become spiritually weakened. And it's sort of like a spiritual sickness. Oftentimes, this is brought about through starvation. You know, if it's a particularly hard winter, if food is scarce, people are in a very weakened state, both physically and spiritually, and then the spirit can invade a person.
That implies also that maybe, to be slightly skeptical, that can create the climate for delusions because of the fact that they're physically debilitated.
Absolutely. There is an entire area of psychology that they've looked into this. They call it Wendigo psychosis. And once that person either is or believes to be possessed by this Wendigo spirit, they believe that it drives them to cannibalism. They start looking at their friends and family as food. You know, when they look at their brother or their child, they don't see a person. They see, you know, game food, basically, you know, like deer or raccoon or whatever it is that they typically would hunt. And then once it's believed that once they eat human flesh, that it's an irreversible process. So once they've done this, they become the next stage of Wendigo, where they start becoming physically monstrous. They start physically changing. They become hideous. They become very strong. There's all kinds of documented cases of people that have been had to be tied down, and it's taken many, many people to keep them tied down, and they make sounds that typically a human couldn't do. And it's believed that once they become this full monster, which would be a sort of like the late stage Wendigo, that they become so dangerous that they can destroy an entire village.
There's some real parallels there with exorcisms and such. Chad, give us an example. Have you got a story you guys can share, just like one of the ones out of your book? Just go through one of them and tell us what it's like to hear one of these stories.
Yes. So if any of your listeners have ever even heard Wendigo, which is perhaps the oldest North American legend out there, yet one of the most unknown, they probably are at least somewhat familiar with the case of Swift Runner. And Swift Runner was a Cree First Nation man up in Alberta, Canada, in the Edmonton area, north of Edmonton, in his land. And during the winter of 1878 and 1879, he split with his family. Many of the tribes would gather in the summer in large groups, and then in the winter they would break off in their family pods and split up the game area. There wouldn't be enough food to sustain 200 people in one area. So Swift Runner went out with his brother and his mother and his wife and six children. And eventually things got rough in the winter. Food became scarce. Swift Runner became angry, and he started manifesting these signs of delusional behavior. He started to see his family as beaver and game animals, and he ended up, through the course of the winter, killing all of his children and his wife, and not only killing them, but eating their flesh as well, to the point where he said, after the last child was killed, that he had fully gone Wendigo, that the Wendigo had taken possession of his spirit. So Swift Runner comes into town the following spring, telling the people in the area a heartbreaking tale of his family starving to death out in the deep, heavily forests of Alberta, Canada. But they noticed right away that Swift Runner didn't look like he had just weathered a winter of starvation. He was big, over 6 feet, 3 inches tall, over 200 pounds. He looked healthier than ever when he came in. So they had him guide them back to his winter quarters, and that's when the authorities saw this scattered graveyard. They found bones and skulls everywhere. Many of the bones were cracked open with the marrow drained out of them from Swift Runner trying to survive. And eventually Swift Runner was brought to the fort in Edmonton there, and he was tried and convicted and sentenced to hang at the gallows.
Wow, okay, I asked for a story, and we got one. Yeah, that's pretty gruesome. Of course, the Wendigo, that's not the only spirit that is out there. There's other ones as well, and you guys were, I think you said this was Algonquin, and some years ago, I had a really bizarre experience out in Glacier National Park. And I got talking to a friend of mine I was working with, and he said, this church person he knew says that it sounded a lot like what he called the Manitou, which is like the Algonquin fundamental life force nature spirit thing. So they've got lots of these beliefs. Did you run across any other weird beliefs or creatures when you were looking into the winged dingo as well?
Yes, the short answer, it definitely. So when we were doing this book, we came across a lot of similar creatures to the Wendigo, because keep in mind, this legend spans almost an entire continent. And so as you go from tribe to tribe, they have different names for similar phenomena or similar creatures. And so in the book, we call it Wendigo lore because that's by far the most common term that's used. But as you go towards the East Coast, you see a word known as the Chinu. It's a creature called the Chinu. And that's more of a Mi'kmaq legend, but it's very, very similar to the Wendigo. And then just south of there, you have a creature that they refer to as the Stonecoats. And again, they're these icy cannibal giants, just like the Wendigo, only they believe that they have this stony skin that makes them impenetrable from arrows and bullets. And there's also some other creatures, too, that are more spirit-like. One of the ones that we talk about in the book is a creature that's called a Pakak, or another tribe name for it is Baycock. And what that is it's sort of like a ghost of a hunter. So a lot of times if a hunter is lost out in the wilderness and dies of exposure, they will turn into one of these Pakaks. And what they do is it's sort of like a flying ghost that has a bow and arrow or sometimes a tomahawk, and they will hunt people down out in the woods that become lost.
We're talking about flying ghosts here, folks. So it's going to get even stranger as we proceed with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime.
When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ghosts, monsters, other strange stuff going on with Chad Lewis and Kevin Lee Nelson, looking at the mystery of the Wendigo in its various and sundry forms. Who wants to pick up on the conversation, guys?
Well, I can finish just about the legend of the Pocock, which is a flying ghost that they believe hunts people that become lost out in the wilderness. And the main difference between the Pocock, which is associated with ice, just like the Wendigo is it's also seen as something that can be reasoned with or appeased. So sometimes they will offer offerings to this hunter ghost, and if it accepts them, it will grant them a good hunt or good weather, things like that, or just leave them alone, which is what people typically want. Whereas the Wendigo is something that can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It's seen as almost like this elemental force, you know, this force of nature or juggernaut that just moves through the woods and only eats and only destroys.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like a land shark, like something that just it's what it is and what it does. For a question for both of you guys, actually, I find it really interesting that you didn't just say compile a bunch of various stories out of other people's books or magazines and stuff, but you actually went out to these quite a number of places and you must have actually talked to people in person. Can you tell us a bit about some of the most interesting people that you talked to get your stories from?
So much of today's folklore and research is done by computer from people who never get into the field and research. And that's fine. If that's the way you'd like to do it, that's great. Everybody has their own way of approaching this subject, and I don't think one's right and one's wrong. But for me, I have to be there, seeing where people are experiencing this thing, talking to the locals, getting a feel of the legend, because that's where the stories exist, that's where they morph, that's where they shift and progress over the years. And one thing about the Wendigo that is unlike a lot of other legends is that a lot of people are hesitant or simply refuse to talk about it because they believe that merely mentioning the name of the creature or talking about it is enough to put you on its radar. that when you go looking for the weird will come looking for you. So they don't even want to mention it by name. I was giving a lecture in northern Minnesota near a reservation land, and some of the tribal elders came up to me before the program, which was on mysterious creatures of Minnesota, and they said, we heard you're going to talk about a local creature here. We would prefer that you do not talk about it while here. And they wouldn't mention the name, of course. I knew exactly that it was the Wendigo. But I told them, obviously, I'd leave it out, no problem whatsoever. And immediately, you could see the facial expression lighten on all of their faces, that they were truly terrified that somebody was going to mention the creature and awaken it and have it come after them. That was one of the hardships of talking to witnesses, is that many people, whether they're First Nation, Native, or not, really were hesitant to talk about this because of the fear that the creature could cause them damage.
How did you guys get these people to open up then and talk to you guys?
I think one of the things that we did was to show our sincere interest in the creature, in the folklore, and that we were going to take it in a serious tone. We weren't simply out there looking to explain this as a primitive belief by, you know, savages like the newspapers from the 18 and early 1900s did, that we were taking this as a serious legend and we would give it the respect and the dignity that the legend needs, or at least that people want to explore this. So I think they would open up a little bit and seeing our sincere interest in the legend. But also, just by doing it year after year, gaining that trust, building those relationships. We interviewed one gentleman in Canada that had he was First Nation, and he had an experience with his family. And we corresponded with him, went to Canada, interviewed him, and over the years, he ended up turning us on to his brother in the United States, who also had an experience on a different location. So it was gaining that trust that allowed us to then find another witness. So it's a very slow process, and at some times it's very difficult. When we were doing the Wendigo book, we reached out to every tribe in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, the Great Lakes area, looking for any of their thoughts on the belief and legend within their communities, and not one single reply came back willing to do it. That just tells that you need this personal approach. Email, a telephone call out of the blue is not going to do it. You have to be there on location, gaining the belief that you're there for the right reasons, because that plays a big effect in whether or not people will talk to you.
So these people don't all just look at it as a local superstition. They take it pretty seriously and believe that their people have had genuine experiences. That's really interesting.
Well, one of the things that we also encountered, too, is Native people are just like anyone else as far as, you know, they have a whole spectrum of opinions on things. And, you know, what we would find is, you know, they don't have just one monolithic belief either this way or that. You know, there's some people that believe that this is a very real thing. But perhaps spiritual. There's other people that believe that it's a very real thing, as in a flesh and blood type creature that's out there in the woods. And then there's others that, you know, believe that it's just really interesting folklore and part of their history. And some that don't believe it at all. You know, so we encountered a lot of people that had varying opinions on this topic.
It sounds like the creature that you're talking about how related is it to something like the Bigfoot or the Yeti, or are they kind of the same creature but just talked about differently between different nations in different parts of the country or world?
I certainly can. So if you look at the original lore of the Wendigo, when I say original, I'm talking, you know, 1700s, 1800s, all of that points to something that's specifically more spiritual and monstrous in nature. It's described as very big, often sometimes much, much bigger than any Bigfoot has ever been reported. You know, they describe sometimes as these things being taller than the trees. Because the belief is that the more they eat, the larger they become and the more dangerous and powerful they become. So the bigger the wendigo, in theory, the older it is. But these things are very thin. They're described as almost skeletal at times and being covered in frost. One of the trademarks of a wendigo is that its heart is encased in ice. Whereas they're not really described as hairy all the time, like a Bigfoot typically would be. However, when you start looking at more 20th century sightings and things like that, and especially later 20th century, that's where things start to become a bit more intermingled. You know, people that maybe don't completely understand the history of what a Wendigo is start mixing it in with Bigfoot lore. And we found all kinds of articles around the turn of the century where pretty much anyone that was seeing anything strange in the woods was calling it a Wendigo because people just didn't really know what it was. They'd heard the word, you know, they'd heard the term, that it was something kind of strange and unnatural. And so anything that was bizarre that was seen in the woods that wasn't a normal animal was oftentimes just called a Wendigo.
Sounds right to me like an excuse then for not having another word for it.
Yeah, I think so. And this is primarily on the part of European settlers that were moving into the area. There was one incident that we record in the book where this four-legged creature was attacking this guy's cattle. And he knew it wasn't a wolf. He knew it wasn't a coyote. He was familiar with those. This thing was much bigger, much stranger looking. And he referred to it as a Wendigo, and even a First Nation person that they asked about it also called it a Wendigo, even though it was much more wolf or dog-like in its description. And there was two of them. They shot it and killed both of them, and they were describing how they had never seen anything that had a pelt like that before.
We'll get back with more Wendigo lore. Did they really shoot him down? More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.